Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Thank you for joining us for this program. As always, taking time out of your lovely weekends to tune in. Well, heck, you could be listening to us on a Monday morning after our podcast gets posted on the website after it runs through its initial airings on various stations across the country. Anyway, we appreciate you tuning in, and this show is a Main Street Radio Network production, so we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist. Sometimes their clients do not like the content, and I'm sure they'll love this segment. We have a guest waiting in the wings, so I will run right through this. But the company always had our backs. We appreciate that. And we want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show, Silk or Joe Show, in its 10th year now. And we are on social media. You can find some of the social media sites, in fact, at mainstreetradionetwork.com, where they cover some of our social media, you know, Facebook postings, Twitter postings, all that. And while you're there, you can check out the Al Nathan Show, I guess, toast for that sometimes. And as far as our own social media page, we don't just share it with Main Street Radio Network. We do appear on Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show. All right. On to the current guest here, we have Dr. Veronica Kirilenko. She is a research associate at a defense consulting firm called Geostrategic Analysis, and she's a writer with the New American Magazine. Dr. Kirilenko, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show today. How are you?
Oh, hi there. Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Happy to have you. So you have a piece over at the New American titled RFK Jr. Raises Concerns Over Ethnic Bioweapons and is Accused of Anti-Semitism. What's going on with this?
Well, it's not only anti-Semitism, it's also xenophobia. What's going on is that RFK Jr. is getting increasingly popular, even among Democrats as well as among Republicans. And you see how both Republicans and Democrats are donating to his campaign. Which is something, he's quite a phenomenon. So if you followed this story, what happened last week, he held a fundraiser party at some swanky restaurants in New York. And his conversation off the record, he was discussing bioweapons. And he said that there is an opinion that COVID might be ethnically targeted, and so he went on to say that apparently because of the genetic differences among different races of the ACT2 receptors that are responsible for how people catch COVID, he said that it looks like COVID is targeting Caucasians and Black people. This is what he said, but he added that people who are most immune are Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese. And of course, all the hell went loose on him. The story was first reported by the New York Post. He said they said that he was, all these bad names. He was anti-Semite, and of course, it's awful, and it would be awful, but. Kennedy defended himself, saying that he actually was quoting a very legit peer-reviewed article, and you can find this article posted on the National Library of Medicine, which is run, as you know, by the National Institute of Health. You would not ever, right, suggest that these people could be anti-Semites, right? So this is the story. So, but you know how our media works. So it's just another example of a smear campaign against an insurgent candidate. This is how I see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how it sounds, because all they did was just bring up legitimate research that was found. And it's not like this is anything new or disturbing. Well, actually, it is disturbing. I should say it's not like it's anything new that we've never heard of before. We were told that because of Soviet propaganda, the AIDS virus came out by the CIA to target the Black community. And heck, I remember a movie from the early 70s called Three the Hard Way, which was about a couple of Black militants trying to stop white supremacists from creating a genocidal virus against the Black community. So it's not like this is should be anything shocking or surprising that it could be reported, you know, especially given the different health differences and biological makeup differences between different ethnicities and races of humans.
Well, yeah, it's not racist to say that there are genetic differences between people of different races. I mean, there is a whole anthropology studies out there that the government funded, the academia studies, and has been studied for hundreds of years, probably. I mean, there is nothing racist to say that there are indeed biological differences between people of different races. I mean, this is just... But you know how the left hates biology, they hate science, they hate anything that they cannot, I don't know, control, disprove. It's just unbelievable. But you know what is important here is that RFK raised very important concerns, not just about ethnically targeted bioweapons, but the development of bioweapons in general. I mean, we have the International Biological Weapons Convention that was signed by 185 nations on this planet for a good reason. I mean, bioweapons is just something that does not belong on this planet, period. The very fact that that various nations and hostile to us develop them, and we, I mean, in turn develop something like that to target them, it just can be so catastrophic. I mean, it should be stopped, and we need to look into it, right?
Yeah, because this has the potential of getting out of hand. A lot of the people, you know, you might be looking at these genes, hey, these seems to be genes that only affect white people or black people, so you unleash a bioweapon, turns out you missed a spot, and now you've wiped yourselves mm-hmm. out, too, if you're not careful.
Well, yeah, so in addition to the loss of lives on a massive scale, because it is considered weapons of mass destruction, of course, such events could cause everything you can think of, like food shortages, environmental catastrophes, devastating economic loss, widespread illness for everyone here, and mistrust among the public in any institution that we hold dear, because it can be an end of life on Earth as we know it. And this is what RFK was talking about, again, this has been studied for many years, and there is nothing controversial about it.
Right. You think that then, because I saw this headline yesterday, that we've suddenly stopped funding the Wuhan lab that they said we'd never been funding to begin with. Do you think that might be related to RFK Jr.'s revelation about this study here about the bioweapon funding?
Yes, it can be related, but they actually said what Fauci and his boss at the NIH, Francis Collins, said. They never funded the research that was related to coronaviruses to start with, but then they changed what they said. They said that, we did found some sent some funds, but it wasn't what you were thinking. And then they said, we actually, if you remember, Fauci said that, yes, we were working with them closely, but they were nice people, they were great researchers, and it was important to do because you didn't want to conduct any such dangerous research somewhere, say, in Virginia, because, the consequences would be terrible. So we had to outsource this kind of research to China, and there was nothing wrong with it, but it was lots of things that were wrong because, if you remember, back in 2014, I think Barack Obama imposed moratorium on gain of function research on coronaviruses, but they tied themselves in knots to say that it was not gain of function, and looks like it was. And who is to say that it was not a bioweapon program again? Because the evidence suggests that, it might have been. And look where we're right now, hundreds of millions of people dead in relation to COVID, so many lives lost, unnecessarily. I'm not saying because of COVID, but probably it contributed. But we see how what kind of toll this pandemic took on all of us, on the economies and the food food supplies and economic chains and everything related. And I'm not to mention our states of freedom and civil liberties, and how much tyrannical power governments exercise on us around the world. And they will likely try to do it again with everything that's happening with climate change. We see all these headlines related to extreme heat and everything else. So, and then we have a vaccine program, of course, that, again, some imply was also a bioweapon. So it's a mess.
Yeah, and there seems to be a total lack of curiosity by the people who are supposed to be conducting investigations into things that are hurting us to conduct investigations into these things that are hurting us. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Because now, in the vacuum of people curious or actual people we can trust to investigate, we're left with just relying on reports from doctors like RFK Jr. was giving. Dr. Veronica Kirilenko, appreciate you being on the Silker Joe Show today. Again, listeners, she's a writer with NUA Magazine and a research associate with Geostrategic Analysis.
Recent news reports are raising the alarm about illegal, disposable vapes in kid-enticing flavors that are pouring in from China. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan.
I lost my firstborn son, Drew, to an overdose. A tragedy no parent should experience. The FDA has started taking action against illegal disposable vapes that could contain deadly fentanyl. Now, they need to get every one of these out of our communities.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
Jorge Gaviria is the founder and owner of Masienda, a supplier of high-quality masa products. Masienda's mission is to carry on the tradition of one of the world's most important crops and empower chefs and home cooks to make the best masa-based dishes in their own kitchens. Jorge can now be seen in a new Capital One business commercial, highlighting how his Spark Cash Plus card helped him grow the business. Jorge Gaviria.
With a Capital One Spark Cash Plus card's unlimited 2% cash back, I invest in research and development for new products that help us grow. It even helped me create and publish a best-selling masa cookbook, providing a guide to using masa at home.
Capital One's Spark Cash Plus card enables small businesses to earn unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases. And with no preset spending limit, Spark Cash Plus cardholders have more flexibility with purchasing power that adapts to their needs based on spend, payments, credit profile, and other factors. For more, visit CapitalOne.com.
Spring is here, time to get out of the gym and take your workout outdoors. Whether you're walking, running, swimming, or biking, it's important to have a proper warm-up routine to prevent injuries. Five-time Ironman triathlon world champion Craig Crowe Alexander has some advice.
Sprains, strains, and injuries can happen to any athlete. Even a minor injury can affect your performance and derail your fitness routine. One of the best ways to try and prevent injuries is to make sure you prepare properly.
Alexander recommends always starting with a 10 to 15 minute dynamic warm-up.
Activation exercises combined with some dynamic movements like lunges are great for warming up. Focus on one specific movement at a time until you feel ready to go. Be sure to listen to your body and use proper support gear when needed to protect yourself and prevent injury.
The Curad Performance Series Ironman lineup includes rugged supports, wraps, kinesiology tape, bandages, and analgesics to support you on your fitness journey. For more, go to Curad.com.
Moms know it's the little things that matter most. A kiss for skinned knees, a hug for hurt feelings, and the small acts that keep families healthy. Many moms before me have seen serious diseases claim the health and lives of their families. Mine was affected by polio. Today, vaccinations for polio and many other diseases can help protect adults and children, generation after generation, mom after mom. Learn more about how to help keep your family healthy at vaccines.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. We are now joined by Taya Shumate. She is founder of Homeschool Ready or Not. Taya, happy to have you on the program. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I hope you're doing well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you. So right now, former President Obama, he's teaming up with various libraries using TikTok videos, I guess, to talk about all these books that are being banned by conservatives and, I guess, promote kids to read them. The trouble is, these are books that, you know, in some areas, if you're an adult, it might not be legal to look at them. Certainly, right. You can't have them in schools at all. It'd be in violation of child pornography laws in some cases. And, you know, I hate to say it, I know someone who was arrested for having that stuff. So, like, why are these schools putting them in their libraries? And why is Obama outright advocating for those to go in libraries, things that regular adults get arrested for having?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was involved in Ohio's four-year battle against Common Core. We tried to get Race to the Top and Common Core out of our local classrooms. And if you read the fine and sometimes not so fine print of that legislation, the ancillary and tertiary documents, I'm telling you, this agenda was all over it. Critical theory, the LGBTQ agenda, all of it. And we knew what was coming. And the best we could do at the time was warn parents. And I think the effect of the distance learning that we saw over COVID and that had parents so upset was that they found out all of the byproducts of that legislation.
Mm-hmm. They finally got to see what was going on in their kids' classroom. And I guess the leftist progressives were relying on obscurity and shrouding it in anonymity and keeping the events of the classroom private. I mean, even to this day, they're trying to keep, if a kid decides that they're trans or LGBTQ or whatever in some way, they're trying to keep that away from the parents. So I guess it should be pretty alarming if the school's main focus isn't teaching the kid, but teaching the kid to hide things from their parents.
Correct. Yeah, the nation's report card says it all, I think, Joseph. And when you look at the 30,000-foot view agenda of what's going on, they're really trying to turn the world upside down, and we really need to push back because the agenda is the same. Over-sexualize our children, remove them from their parents, separate them from that authority, and then make sure that at 5 years old, they think they have consent and that they can make a legitimate decision. And when you put all of those three together, what do you have? Well, we saw it in the Race to the Top documentation. Turn little minds to mush, remove all of their critical thinking, right? We want them to feel, and then radicalize them for activism. And that's what we saw in the summer of 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the final outgrowth of that radicalization going on. And it's like, it's typical cult mentality, you know? Isolate from society that would tell you that what's going on is insane and crazy, and so are you for going along with it. And then just fill your mind with a bunch of propaganda to change it while you're in isolation. And then let you loose back on society now, and after otherizing everybody, and that's like we saw in 2020, a lot of people were otherized. That is, these rioters were thinking that the people they were fighting were fascist, racist, and evil. They didn't bother getting to know them. In fact, I've seen video various efforts of protesters to get to know the police were disrupted by other protesters.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we communicate in logical fallacies anymore because, A, we don't teach logical fallacies. We don't teach material logic, let alone formal logic. But, you know, there is a reason why people make sweeping generalizations. We've allowed them to equate disagreement with hate. We've allowed them to equate adversity with perpetual victimhood, even adversity over which we have no control. Right. And so we're all conditioned to believe that we can have a fake book life and everything's perfect. And it raises envy and resentment toward our fellow man. And, you know, God forbid, we like you said, we get to know our neighbor. God forbid, instead of contacting the HOA saying, hey, this person's yard looks terrible, how about you knock on that neighbor's door and say, hey, is everything okay? Can I help you with something?
Yeah, separating everyone, pitting them against each other, making sure that the only friend they have in common is the government. You know, it's classic Marxist tactics. That's how you overthrow a capitalist system or monarchist system or any system you care to mention. You make sure, first you make the people hate each other, and then you claim, hey, we're the ones with the solution. You just got to put your full faith in the government. And boy, is that great for the bureaucrats and the politicians when that happens.
Correct, correct. And then you have an uprising among the quote-unquote working class against the nobility or whatever they want to call the 1%, if that's what they want to call it. But it's a pattern that has been going on, I think, a lot longer than people have been paying attention. And so when that distance learning occurred and parents really got a good taste of what was going on in the classroom, I think you've seen at least a shift among thinking people that, hey, maybe I need to run for school board. Maybe I need to reengage and get involved, because we've been conditioned to think that wherever our children sit for education, we still need to outsource it, and that as parents, we're not in control. And that is not true. Regardless of where you send your child to school, whether it's home, private, public school, you're in charge, you're the parents. And a little bit of pushback has gotten a lot from the left, right? They don't like that because they want to be in control of the agenda moving forward, which is this radicalization toward this, you know, the one world, whatever it is, the Great Reset, whatever people want to call it.
Mm-hmm. And there's also another alternative that you've come up with, not that you came up with, that you're in support of, that you came up with a group for, homeschooling. So what was the genesis of Homeschool Ready or Not?
Well, that's a great question. So I actually got the website several years ago, and, you know, life got in the way. But I did it because parents always called me locally toward the end of the summer saying, hey, how do I get started? What do we do here? Can we meet for coffee or whatever? And I thought, wouldn't it be nice to have a broader outreach to folks who are maybe not even in my state? And so for whatever reason, that didn't happen right away. And then after COVID hit, the number of those inquiries spiked, if you'll pardon the pun. And I thought, well, let's dust off the website and see if we can give this a good go. And we've gotten great response. It's just a very plain and simple video-based, you know, we funnel down the getting started process to get legal, get curricula, and get community, not necessarily in that order. Community is most important. I just like the way that rolled off the tongue. So, the process is simple. The lifestyle is not always easy, right? Because you realize that responsibility every day. I kind of I tell people homeschooling can be challenging on a good day, but not for the reasons people think. It's not because of calculus or physics. It's challenging because you realize the buck stops with you. And that's a huge responsibility. I liken it to when you bring your firstborn home, and after a few hours, you realize, holy cow, no one's coming to get this kid, right? So this is ours for life, honey. And you know, you roll with it, you become accustomed, and then you go through different stages in life, and that's how homeschooling is. It's a lifestyle, and I think that is what we want to help people traverse, and it's not really an obstacle, it's a paradigm shift, because parents really do need to take ownership of and responsibility for the education of their child.
Right. We're seeing right now what happens when you leave it up to strangers working for the government. So in the time we have left, where can we find out more about your organization?
People can go to homeschoolreadyornot.com. We are also, and I'm not a social media guru, so pardon, we're delayed, but on...
This Men's Health Month, we encourage men to take care of their largest organ. Their skin. Plaque psoriasis is a common skin disease that may appear as raised and scaling red plaques anywhere on the body, like the knees and elbows, and even private and sensitive areas like the groin, genitals, between the buttocks, and armpits. Symptoms can include pain, cracking skin, and itching. While it occurs equally among men and women, several studies have shown that men tend to have more severe plaque psoriasis. Chad Cragen was diagnosed nearly 20 years ago with plaque psoriasis, affecting multiple areas of his body, including his elbows, knees, and between his buttocks. Chad is sharing his story to encourage other men to talk to their healthcare provider about their symptoms and learn about a steroid-free treatment option that may be able to help.
When I was first diagnosed, I walked out of my dermatologist's office with 5 different tubes and bottles of topical medicine to use on different parts of my body. Managing so many treatments, all with different instructions for different body parts, made my treatment routine confusing and time-consuming. Recently, I started using a steroid-free cream, Zoryve, roflumilast cream, that has simplified the management of my psoriasis, as I can use it anywhere on my body. I apply it once daily for my flare-ups, and it's really helped manage my symptoms by clearing my skin and reduce my pain and itch too. I also like the cream because it's not greasy or messy. It spreads easily, and I just need to apply a small amount to the area of my body where there are plaques. I think a lot of men with plaque psoriasis, especially if they have it in more private areas, may not bring it up with their healthcare provider. I encourage them to go talk to their provider and learn about the latest treatment options. And don't be afraid to have your healthcare provider examine your full body, because psoriasis may look and feel different depending on location. With the appropriate treatment regimen, things can change.
Zoryve is a prescription medicine used on the skin, topical, including in areas with skin folds to treat plaque psoriasis in people 12 years of age and older. It is not known if Zoryve is safe and effective in children under 12 years of age. Before taking Zoryve, tell your healthcare provider if you have liver problems and about the medicines you take. Do not use Zoryve in or on your eyes, mouth, or vagina. Tell your healthcare provider if you are pregnant, breastfeeding, or plan to be. It is not known if Zoryve will harm your unborn baby. The most common side effects of Zoryve are diarrhea, headache, trouble sleeping, nausea, application site pain, upper respiratory tract infections, and urinary tract infections. These are not all of the possible side effects of Zoryve. Talk to your healthcare provider to find out if Zoryve is right for you. For more information about plaque psoriasis and Zoryve, a steroid-free topical that works across affected body areas, talk to your healthcare provider or visit www.zoryve.com. That's Zoryve.com. Sponsored by Arcutis Biotherapeutics.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for tuning in this week, and we are now joined by Danny Carroll. He has spent the last 17 years studying alternative healing therapies in search of the holy grail of health and wellness. His latest book is Terminal Cancer is a Mixed Diagnosis. Discover a palliative care alternative medicine you can survive. Danny Carroll, thank you for being on the show. How are you today?
It's great. Great to be here. Thanks.
All right, happy to have you. If you'll pardon me, I just first got to correct something that happened in the last segment. The last guest was trying to get their social medias out there. It is MAGISTRA1ONE, that's spelled out O-N-E, on Instagram and Twitter. Danny Carroll, do you have any social medias you'd like to pitch?
My home base is danny-carroll.com, and Carroll was the Irish spelling, C-A-R-R-O-L-L.
Okay.
So if danny-carroll.com is my home base.
Mm-hmm. Now, the topic we have you on here is alternative methods to medicine. I cannot seem to say methods in medicine in such rapid order. So similar. But, you know, I've talked earlier in this show, glanced a little bit on unreliability of certain aspects of our healthcare industry and aspects of healthcare governance. And it just seems that we're just being sold pills every day. I mean, I know it's not like that in other countries, but here in America, you can't watch TV for 5 minutes without hitting a commercial about some new medication or wonder pill or whatever that really doesn't seem to do anything except hurt you in the long run. So
absolutely.
A lot of people are looking for alternatives to that.
Yeah, I mean, the key issue here is whether you basically address the symptom of the problem or the cause of the problem, right? I mean, all of these drugs are designed to address the symptom of a problem. Unless and until you can never solve a problem by addressing the symptom, right? I mean, we all know that from business. Unless you address the cause of the problem, you're never going to solve it permanently. So I've spent the last 10 years studying the work of a German medical doctor. He was a cancer research specialist, and basically what happened in 1978, his 19-year-old son was shot and murdered, and 2 months later he got a tumor in his testicle, and he couldn't help thinking that there must be a causal link between his son dying and him getting cancer on a reproductive organ. And he spent 39 years basically studying to identify the cause of health issues and essentially unraveled the biological code. And his medical discoveries are quite extraordinary. So the first book I've just written is Terminal Cancer is a Misdiagnosis. That's on Amazon at the moment. It's the first book in a 500-plus book series. I'm planning to write one book on every disease, and this is the first one. I've written four other books that are on breast cancer, testicular cancer, IBS and ulcerative colitis, and atopic dermatitis. Those are on my website and can be read for free there. And I plan to write one book on every disease, on how you address the cause of the problem and how you solve it permanently.
Atopic dermatitis might be a topic for me, because I might have something like that going on. Like, it always, going to what you were saying about this doctor thinking that the testicular cancer might have popped up because of stress, you know, this atopic dermatitis that I seem to have at the moment.
I can help you with that.
Well, I was about to say, it seems to be coming up sometimes just because of stress or because of other stuff going on in my life. Like, you know, once in a while it'll pop up on its own, but, you know, right now I've got a lot of stress going on, and that's when it's really spread.
Dermatitis is basically caused by separation conflicts. So it's either wanting to be separated from somebody or wanting to be with somebody that you can't be with, which is basically, and it causes eczema, psoriasis, vitiligo, chickenpox, measles, I mean, a whole variety of different skin issues, right? So, but unless you understand and address the cause of the relationship that you're separated from, you can put steroid creams on them forever. But you're just suppressing the symptoms, and it will just keep coming back.
That's interesting thought. There is some crossover with the mainstream science on that, because they say, well, stress lowers your immune system and allows all these things to happen to you. So, like, there is grounds to get in. It's like one side has part of the answer, and the other side has more of it. But then the two sides don't want to meet.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, what this doctor discovered is the tumor on his testicle was actually designed to increase his testosterone and sperm production. So nature's increasing his capacity. So he's got a better chance of getting his wife pregnant so he could replace a child he just lost. So essentially, all of these changes in our biology are survival functions. Nature wants us to survive. So when doctors say, oh, there's abnormal cell growth and they think that the cell's gone wrong, they think it's gone wrong because they don't understand the purpose of it and they don't understand the cause of it. So when you understand the purpose and the cause of a problem, so you've got an abnormal cell growth because nature is increasing your capacity to help you to solve a crisis in life. Once you connect those dots, then it all sort of starts to make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, just kind of makes sense that we're missing a lot on here because, you know, skin cancer, for example, humans have been living in the sunlight for millions of years by now. Surely it shouldn't be hurting us as bad as this. It's not like
No, it has nothing to do with sunlight.
Yeah. So it's interesting that these findings. Now, what caused you to get into this sort of line of research?
I had a close friend about 17, 18 years ago who was diagnosed with cancer. I live in Bombay in India. It's my permanent residence. And she couldn't afford the cancer treatment. So I funded her cancer treatment and ensured her compliance to the treatment. And basically within 3 rounds of chemo, she died. And I was devastated. So I swore I'd find a better solution to the problem. And I've spent the best part of the last 2 decades basically trying to unravel how this all really works. And I found this body of work of this German doctor about 10 years ago, and I've spent the last 10 years testing it on myself. And I've been helping terminally ill cancer patients who doctors have sent home to die, basically to fully recover their health. And I'm not a doctor, right? So I'm actually a venture capital investor.
Hmm.
Yeah. Strange but true. Strange story. It all starts with trauma, of course.
Right. Anyway, I don't know. If my doctor said they were actually a venture capitalist, I might have been alarmed. So I'm glad you saved that for last after you gave your record of success.
I apply the same principles of problem solving to health that I do to business, right? I mean, mm-hmm. business, you know, we're taught you can never solve a problem by addressing the symptom. The same rules apply to our health, right? And the problem here is not only conventional medicine is a system of symptomatic treatment, but all forms of alternative medicine are also forms of symptomatic treatment. So in nutritional healing, you're sort of detoxing the body, and in homeopathy, you're treating the environment of the symptoms, and in bio remedies, you're treating, you know, the symptoms of emotions. But none of these modalities are actually targeting the cause of the problem. And this this body of knowledge developed by this German doctor called Germanic Healing Knowledge, or Germanic New Medicine, basically targets the cause of the problem with a sniper's rifle. And it really is truly extraordinary. Once you get to the actual cause of a problem, then you've got a good chance of solving it.
Right, and you know, I gotta wonder about why we spend so much focus on treating the symptoms instead of the problem. I know for the pharmaceutical industry, for example, that it is just hugely profitable to keep the symptoms going and not actually
That's
solve
right.
the problem. That's how they make their money. That's why they got the FDA to make it so that new medications and new pills don't actually have to be any better than old ones. They just have to be not worse.
That's right, yeah. I mean, the trouble is, there's no money in well people, right?
Right.
So, I mean, you know, healthcare industries can only function if there are people who are sick. So modalities where you teach people to heal themselves by addressing the cause of a problem tend not to be very popular because they sort of bail the cat of the existing industries. This German doctor estimated that 95% of all modalities, both conventional and alternative, would essentially become or go out of business when his medical discoveries are allowed to surface. So as you can imagine, he was not very popular. I mean, he spent 2.5 years in prison. He had 12 attempts on his life, and they tried to put him in a mental institution 75 times in order to sort of keep him busy so that he didn't have the time in order to be able to get his medical discoveries out. So they've sort of been swept under the carpet for maybe like 45 years now. But maybe it's time for them to see some light and for people to start learning how to not suffer from chronic health conditions by continuously addressing symptoms, but actually come in and solving health problems by addressing the cause of the problem.
Mm-hmm. And we're almost out of time. So again, your book is Terminal Cancer is a Misdiagnosis, Discover on Palliative Care, Alternative Medicine You Can Survive. And
that's on Amazon, yeah.
Yep. And now your website, please, again.
My website is danny-carroll.com. There are four books on there that you can read for free, the ones I mentioned on breast cancer, testicular cancer, IBS, and dermatitis. They're the first four books of what will be a 500-plus book series. Go and read them for free there. They're very, very interesting.
Jumpstarting the summer you want with the energy you need, giving away $50,000 to fuel your Memorial Day weekend. Millions of Americans are eager to kick off the holiday weekend with a travel getaway. In fact, experts predict 82% of summer travel will be by car. And with high gas prices, 89% will be looking for travel rewards, which is why Rockstar Energy wants to help you save at the pump and stay energized to get to your next destination. Here's how it works. Throughout Memorial Day weekend, the first 1,000 people to stop by any gas station, buy three Rockstar Energy products, and fuel up on gas or electric charge, will get up to $50 cash back. Text ENERGY to 81234 to find out more. The rewards don't stop there. All summer long, you can earn up to $5 cash back when you buy two Rockstar Energy products and fill up at any gas station. To find out more, text ROCKSTAR to 81234. Let Rockstar fuel your drive this summer. I'm Kendra Wright.
Together with One Knoxville SC, PetSafe is thrilled to collaborate and create fields of joy for players, pets, and families in the selection of the pro soccer team's inaugural official mascot. To make this experience truly extraordinary, PetSafe has partnered with Young Williams, one of the largest animal shelters in the country, to create their Unleash the Mascot program. This program will profile rescue dogs and allow fans to vote for their favorites. As we search for forever homes for all six dogs, one lucky pup will be chosen by fans to become the team's official mascot and will be placed in a loving forever home with a One Knox team member. Starting on July 18th, fans can actively participate in the mascot voting process by visiting at PetSafe Instagram channel to cast their vote before July 21st at noon Eastern Standard Time. With this program, PetSafe is also challenging other teams across the United States to transform their fields into spaces of joy by hosting pet adoptions and events that unleash joy for pets and their families. Sponsored by PetSafe.
Recent news reports are raising the alarm about illegal, disposable vapes in kid-enticing flavors that are pouring in from China. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan.
I lost my firstborn son, Drew, to an overdose, a tragedy no parent should experience. The FDA has started taking action against illegal, disposable vapes that could contain deadly fentanyl. Now, they need to get every one of these out of our communities.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
What is dadication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy, and I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Heart valve disease is more common than you or your doctor may think, especially as you get older. It's serious but treatable with the proper diagnosis. If you or a loved one are experiencing shortness of breath, fatigue, chest tightness or pressure, dizziness or fainting, talk to your doctor and ask for an echocardiogram to get diagnosed early and enjoy your best quality of life. Learn more at askforecho.com. That's ask4echo.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Soaker Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us through the show this weekend, or I guess just randomly tuning in right now. That's good too, if that's what the route you went. So earlier this week, I went to see The Sound of Freedom. I have to say, if you went to see that film and your first thought was, how can I cover up for the horror these kids experienced, then you just got a job at MSNBC, CNN, Washington Post, The Guardian, Bloomberg, and probably a bunch of other outlets. Slate. Assuming they even watched the film, which is doubtful. It's based on a true story, but they'd have you believe child trafficking is just a QAnon conspiracy theory. That's what they've come out and said. In fact, seemingly in response to the film, someone in the Biden administration erased language on their immigration site that referred to missing or trafficked illegal immigrant children. There were over 80,000 of them that they said were in danger, and they just kind of deleted that and forget about it right after this movie came out. What great timing. Here's the interesting part, though. There is no partisanship in this movie. Contrary to what you're hearing about it being right-wing, moral panic, conspiracy theory, QAnon, all that, there's no partisanship in it, none. At no point does someone blame them darn liberals. At no point does someone say 2020 was stolen. At no point does someone say Trump was great. There isn't even a single MAGA hat. In fact, the events in the film took place in the Obama years. Yet we are told the film is fake news and child trafficking is just a moral panic. They use that word a lot. Democrats love to use that phrase, moral panic, to discredit religious people and Republicans and anyone who wants to stop child trafficking, apparently. But isn't the left in a moral panic about guns and trans kids and all that? Anyway, it gets even more interesting that the man this film is based on recently raided, he started this organization called Underground Railroad, and the acronym is OUR for it. Oh yeah, Operation Underground Railroad. I don't know why I started thinking that the O stood for R, even though OUR was the acronym, and the O stood for Operation. But anyway, it's called Operation Underground Railroad. They recently raided a child slave group in Africa where organs were being sold for satanic rituals. That's what was going on down there. Now, the liberal media said this was a QAnon conspiracy theory. That's right. Operation Underground Railroad found people doing this and are called conspiracy theorists for saying, hey, we found these people doing this. Why is the media protecting this kind of stuff? It's like the media has something to hide. Now, let's look at how this film has been treated, though. The film itself, that is, over the years. That's right, years. It's not just a recent phenomenon. Jim Caviezel, the guy who put the movie together, tells us that he spent 5 years trying to get it out in theaters. Disney bought Fox years ago and stonewalled this movie's release. You know, the same Disney that's into grooming kids, the same Disney company whose parks are among the hit child trafficking destinations on the planet, the same Disney company whose employees have been caught involved in this kind of thing. So it appears the left is in a moral panic about this film because their moral code is antithetical to the message of this film, summarized by the film as God's children are not for sale. I'll tell that to liberals. They seem to feel entitled to buy, sell, and sexually abuse other people's children. And cover up for it as well. In fact, at the time that this film is coming out, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she went before Congress and said that Hunter Biden may be guilty of human trafficking, violating the Mann Act. Why? Because he paid for prostitutes to be flown to him using his own law firm's money. Now, you know, we're all adults here, adult prostitutes, it's the oldest profession, so I guess we're not too sensitive to that at this point, although technically what Hunter Biden did was human trafficking. But the thing is, we're also not seeing Epstein's client list being prosecuted. Now, remember, another thing that was going on around this time that the film was originally developed, 2018, 2019, during those years when it was being suppressed, is the Epstein issue. That's when the revelations started coming out. ABC News tried to bury the Epstein story back in 2018, 2019. right around the time this film came out. And remember, ABC News' parent company, Disney. Now, isn't that interesting? A film about child trafficking being buried at the same time Epstein and his client list were being buried, shortly thereafter Epstein himself being buried. There's a lot that's being hidden here. Now that the film has come out, suddenly the left is saying, oh, there is no child trafficking, MAGA conspiracy theory, moral panic, it's not a real thing. Why are they protecting the traffickers? Why have they been protecting the traffickers for 5-6 years now? Probably a lot longer, honestly. While the FBI spent its time persecuting Donald Trump, remember, they let that, Olympic coach or whatever continue abusing children or something? So, yeah, the FBI's got some of this stuff on their hands, too. Now, contrary to, actually, it's Homeland Security in the movie that gets a huge boost as far as making their people look good. Actually, I don't understand now another aspect of the reaction. It does make Homeland Security look pretty good, and that's what Democrats want right now. They want faith in the Biden administration. Well, this is showing the Obama years, in fact. So why would they be opposed to it unless they're in favor of human trafficking? So it really, their opposition just makes no sense. If we assume that they are a decent, kind, moral people who value the children, well, now they've shown that they do value the children, just not the same way the rest of us do. I just don't get the appeal of the left at this point. When, in order to be a part of the left, as you heard me discussing on the Alan Nathan show earlier this week when I guest hosted, either you have to just throw all moral standards out the window and circle the wagons around everyone who's on your side, including the child traffickers, even if you don't want to, or you actually are one of those kinds of people, and now you have an entire political party backing you. And the more flack this film catches, the more it really seems that that's what they're doing, especially when, again, we tie it into the history of how the media and the government have been protecting child traffickers. Again, no one on the Epstein client list has been prosecuted. The list might as well have just been locked up in a briefcase or set on fire or buried with Epstein. And ABC News, the same ABC News owned by Disney that buried this film, buried the Epstein story at first. There was a vested interest in protecting the rich and powerful in this country. And, you know, even Hunter Biden, for his minor human trafficking violation, well, minor compared to what Epstein did, you know, even that gets off. No one cares. Why? We're supposed to be a nation of laws. We're supposed to be a moral country. The liberals certainly love to say, to weigh their morality in our faces about how if you oppose gender transition surgeries for 5-year-olds, you're killing them. You might as well just put a gun to their head and pull the trigger. That's what they say. You're causing an epidemic of suicides. Well, what do you think human trafficking does to a child? Yet, on that issue that everyone agrees on, that everyone should be able to agree on, the left suddenly defends the child traffickers, has been for 5 years now. They are doing everything they can to feed any conspiracy theory about the left consisting of child traffickers, the Pizzagate stuff, the Clintons, and all that. It seems to be everything that they've done to try and counter child trafficking in the headlines just encourages that behavior, perception of them. They're their own worst enemies when it comes to public relations on this issue. Or maybe it's just because they really are into human trafficking, child trafficking, and all that, and they don't want you to know. We'll see. More. Thank you for tuning into the Silker Joe Show this week. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.